Chris Gibson, we just had a Republican series of caucuses in Iowa. We find, I think, a rather fracturous Republican Party. We have the right wing, which want to say, okay, this is our view, and we're going to find somebody who may not be the best winner, but who will make our points. And then you have the Romneyites, I believe, who say, okay, I can win and I can beat the president. What do you make of this?
Well, I guess that's one perspective, right? That's one that's one way you could look at it.
You once said at a dedication, Dr. Chartok, and I don't always agree on everything.
Well, look, quite frankly, I've been underwhelmed by the whole situation. I'm not hearing what I would like to hear in terms of vision. And by the way, both parties disappointed in the candidates for the office. And so, but I don't think it can be neatly put into categories, conservative, moderate, because it really gets down to your definition of what are these definitions of conservative and moderate. For example, you know, I think that the proper role for the United States of America, when you talk about foreign policy and naturally then your national security establishment that would follow, is that we recognize that the strength of our country is our ideas. And to the degree that we have an incredible workforce, so our commerce and trade closely follow our ideas as our greatest strength, always backed up by the credibility of a very strong military as a deterrent factor. Certainly with a Navy that assures access moving about, but less postured with land forces overseas, more based here in the continental United States, a fundamental national security establishment reform that flattens our intelligence agency, makes it more agile, links it with our Special Operations Command, so we work with friends and allies to prevent Al-Qaeda from bringing down our cherished way of life. All these things that I mentioned, I do not hear to the level that I want to hear from a presidential candidate. So, you know, that's why I'm underwhelmed and disappointed.
Have our politics been dumbed down? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think that we move too quickly towards cliches. I think that there is an anticipation, and I think the way that we select candidates reinforces this, that you tend to see, particularly at this phase, more accentuated positions on the left and right during the primary and the caucus period, so that you can curry favor and gain the nomination. And I see less of a focus on pragmatism, on solving problems, on working together. So, I mean, this is my critique.
What do you think should happen as you guys move forward with the Republicans move forward with picking a candidate now?
Well, it's a process and it will unfold. I don't think it's terribly different from what happened 4 years ago in either party. Take a look at the epic battle between Hillary Rodham Clinton and Barack Obama. I mean, that race went all the way into June. You know, we've got many primaries in front of us, and we'll see what's to come.
And what is Chris Gibson going to do about all of this?
I have no favorite at this point. I've got enough to do serving as the representative of the 20th Congressional District, and look forward to a good year in 2012.
So what, speaking of that, what is your agenda for 2012?
Well, the goals remain the same, and that is the economy. And when we talk about the economy, it's, yes, it's absolutely creating jobs, but it's also strengthening the jobs we have and seeing the standard of living rise for all. So job number one is jobs and the economy. Two is continuing to move back towards a balanced budget. And three, protecting our exceptional way of life from threats from abroad, but also from inadvertent encroachment here at home. So, you know, how do
inadvertent encroachment at home, why don't you explain?
Well, I mean, passing legislation that steps on our civil liberties that—
For example?
Well, the Patriot Act, for example. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, even with, you know, intentions that were designed to secure us, in my view, it's facially unconstitutional. When you take a look at our Fourth Amendment, and there's a requirement for specificity when it comes to warrants, it says it right there in the second half of the Fourth Amendment. Yet, and I'm talking about specificity in terms of the person, the place, and the thing. And that when you look at the Patriot Act, there's a provision in there about roving wiretaps that does not require that level of specificity, facially unconstitutional with the Fourth Amendment. So I can't support that. I mean, I think that it's constantly a judgment that you're when it comes to matters of protecting our cherished way of life, it's getting the judgment right. It's recognizing that there's an existential threat in Al-Qaeda that would means to bring down our cherished way of life, but also, quite frankly, civilization. But in the process of securing us, let us not give up the liberty that we cherish and really the exceptional nature of how we were founded, the idea that we could live free. I mean, sure, we look at it now in the 21st century and we say, right, you know, we get that. But in 1776, that was a radical idea.
There have been a lot of phone calls to the station about the Defense Appropriations Act and one particular provision which would allow, according to many of the callers, you know, sort of uninhibited incarceration of innocent people without warrant. What do you think?
Well, it's not true. And look, I mean, I've taken some calls myself on this. And so I read the specifics of the legislation. This is the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA. It's the policy bill. It's the policy bill that essentially provides guidance to the Department of Defense, including how we pay our troops, how we take care of their families, the equipment required to support our troops. But there are a couple of sections in there, sections 1021 and 1022 that deal with detainees. And my read of these sections, that they're legislatively neutral. They do not substantively change anything with regard to American citizens and detainee procedure. So, you know, there's a specific section in our paragraph, I should say, in section 1021 that explicitly states that this does not change the law with regard to American citizens. So, look, it's not only in the law. There's a colloquy that's in the congressional record between Mr. Landry of Louisiana and Mr. McKeon of California, where the intent is explicitly stated. It is not to extend this policy, which is meant to clarify with foreign terrorists, Al-Qaeda supported, the intent of the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012 is not to include American citizens. And you say, well, why does that matter? Because whenever any matter gets to the court, they not only look at the statute, they look at the congressional record to derive congressional intent. So that colloquy is of substantive contribution. And furthermore, the president, when he signed the National Defense Authorization Act, states that this bill, now law, does not break new ground when it comes to American citizenship and detainee policy. It says that the president or the country does not have any new powers and does not deny civil liberties. And furthermore, the president says, even if it did, I don't interpret it that way, and he doesn't plan to go forward. But it's important to note that the president also says that this breaks no new ground, and it does not deny our civil liberty. So, look, I mean, certainly we live in an era where the people are skeptical, they're cynical, they're concerned about their civil liberties, and I get all that. But it's still important to read and to read the details and to look at this thing from a very rational standpoint. If I believed that this stepped on our civil liberties, I would have voted no. But in my view, it does not, and I voted yes.
Congressman Chris Gibson, we love having you here, and thank you so much for joining us in the studios. And always a pleasure, and you're always welcome back.
Thank you very much, Alan, and best wishes to all the listeners out there.